right? There's only a few inches of snow on the ground, but did anybody do any snow preparation this past week? Yeah, okay, most of us did. See some heads nodding. Scott, you were out plowing, weren't you?
Yeah.
How much was up on the hill?
Maybe 5 inches.
5 inches, a little snowfall. Yeah, yeah. You know, I ran around, tried to prepare for what's coming too, trying to put things away. I still have a trench that I have to dig now with a pickaxe for installing some conduit. And, you know, I'm not quite ready for the snow and the cold yet. My pipes were frozen this morning. My wife was not happy. But, you know, we run around because we know what's coming. We have this much snow on the ground at our house at our elevation. But how many of you remember the 40 inches last year, right? All in one shot. I went to bed thinking it was going to be a little storm. I didn't have to worry about it. I got up at 4:30 in the morning and went, oh, no. I can't plow this. It's too deep already. I was caught off guard. There wasn't anything I could do about it. It took me 2 days to clean it up. So we know what's coming. We know there's feet of snow, lots of cold, frozen pipes, plowing, shoveling, salting, sanding. Aren't you thrilled to live in Vermont? But there's also skiing, sledding, right? Snowshoeing, ice fishing, yes. Warm fires, good times, right? Hopefully. But the point of all this is that we know what's coming. There's no way to delay it. There's no way to hold it off. We can't stop it. We don't know when it's really going to ramp up, but we know that it is, and so we prepare. So in Advent, we consider the purpose of Jesus coming as God among us. Right? We're lost in darkness. We need the light of salvation to dawn on us. It's partly why I gave the kids some light sticks today, some glow sticks. I have to find some other source of light for next week. Jesus is not some other prophet in the line of prophets to Israel, like many in Israel thought that he was. This is the one true God, come in the flesh, living our human experiencing life as we actually do, the joys, the pain, the temptation, the challenges, yet with a major significant difference that he was able to do it sinlessly. Whereas we can't. He humbled himself. He gave himself in obedience to God the Father. He came in humility. And we know that story. We talk about it every Christmas. You know, even in the stores that have tried to kind of, you know, divest themselves of anything related to God, they'll still maybe sell a Christmas card that has something to do with the manger. And that sort of thing. You know, we're going to have a live nativity here, which is going to show that whole tranquil, pastoral scene. And that's all true. And it's really good. But sometimes it's important for us to take a look at the fact that where Jesus came in humility once, he is coming back with a sword. He is coming back on a white horse. On his thigh is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Living under a king is foreign to us. You know, we have a president that we elect. We have people that represent us. And theoretically, they're there to do our bidding. Whether or not that happens, we can discuss that at coffee hour sometime. But living under a king is a completely different thing. And most of us might think about living under a king as being a negative thing because we think of maybe a loss of freedom or a corruption of absolute power. But faithful and true and just are the judgments of King Jesus. And we can rely upon him that when we are living under his rule and reign, that his kingship will be perfect. Requires submission, requires obedience. We look at that baby in the manger, and immediately perhaps the You know, the song Silent Night comes to mind. We might even take it far enough to realize that he was born to die and rise again for us. But this idea of the second coming, there's a lot of Christians that don't believe it's going to happen. Remember the whole scene at Epiphany when the Magi bring three gifts, right? Frankincense was one gift that pointed to his priesthood, that he was the intermediary between God and man. Myrrh pointed to the fact that he was going to die. That was an embalming spice. Okay? Pointed to the fact that that was coming up in his life. Now, how about the gold? It wasn't to buy diapers. It prophetically points to Jesus' kingship. Gold for a king. Think about that little baby in the manger. He wasn't a king at that point, right? Wasn't living like that. There were other people in power. Other things happening. He came in humility. But that gold was there for a reason. Now, I'm sure that Mary and Joseph were able to use that. Don't get me wrong. However, gold to crown him a king, as the carol says. So what do we do about it? How does it shape us? How does he change us? This is why Jesus came. It's that change that he brings in us. He redeems us, he sanctifies us, and we're able to begin to know and one day to see that transcendent God. So the scriptures today from the New Testament and the gospel, they challenge us to live in this way that we are ready for Christ's return. I'm really not ready for snow, but it's here, honestly. Are we ready for Christ's return? Can we honestly say that? Are we ready? Are all of our affairs in order? Have we dealt with those things we need to deal with? Are we looking up expectantly, waiting for his return? Or are we going, I need more time. Don't go back yet. I need more time. His first coming was foretold. We read a little of it this morning in my family. We lit our Advent candle this morning, and we read from Isaiah 53 about how this person was prophesied to come so many years before he did. His second coming is also foretold. Are we paying attention? Are we looking around at the signs around us? Stuff is happening. Things are changing. And so as a people who know that it is coming, even more surely than as Jesus points out the fig tree and the leaves and things changing, and as we know in our culture and climate, snow and freezing temperatures, that Jesus is coming, we are called to prepare. We are called to interrupt our normal pattern of doing life and get ready. We are called to live into the reality of the kingdom of God. Jesus is coming as king. We are called to live like we truly believe what's written here. That we believe it when we say it in the Apostles' Creed that he's coming again. In the gospel lesson today, people will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. Do you see any fear out there? Just in time for the holidays, we've got Omicron now. Another COVID strain, right? I'm not laughing because it's funny. Here we go, you know? And people are getting afraid again. Fear and foreboding of what's coming upon the world. Now, maybe COVID is just one little rumble in the earthquakes that are leading up to the coming of Jesus. Or maybe there's going to be a major linchpin coming here pretty soon, and Christ is going to return before the new year. The fact is, we don't know, but we know that he is. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. They will see the Son of Man, Jesus, coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And what is our response? Cower? Hide? Hope we make it through? Gospel says no. Stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. That's exciting. I mean, as fearful as the stuff is that's happening in the world, it's exciting. Jesus is coming back. Stuff has to get a lot worse before he comes. And as it gets worse, we know the time is drawing closer. And as people who have an eternal perspective, what do we have to fear? If our body dies, we're with the Lord. That's awesome. Do I want to die today? No. But if I do, I know where I'm going. I'm eternally secure. The gospel goes on. Be on your guard. Watch out for the weights and cares of the world, dissipation, drunkenness, worries of life. There's a lot of that right now. Dissipation and drunkenness doesn't have to be drunkenness on alcohol. What are people drunk on? What do we worship? Where do we spend our time that we shouldn't be? What is distracting us and keeping us from paying attention to the fact that Christ, who lives in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who has indwelt us, is coming again in his glorified, resurrected body on a white horse as king? And man, we better be ready. Be alert. Be praying that we'll be able to stand in that day. Don't be afraid. When we're expecting someone to arrive for dinner at our house, right? We know, okay, dinner's at 6 o'clock. We know approximately when they're going to come. We kind of have an awareness of maybe the sound of a vehicle pulling into the driveway or the flash of the headlights across the house as they swing in. Or if we miss that, maybe our dog barks. Or if we miss that, eventually you hear the knock on the door and you have an ear out for that because you're expecting somebody to come. Jesus is coming. Are we ready? Are we listening? Are our spiritual ears tuned in to what is happening? Are we listening and looking for the signs of his coming? This should impact what we believe, how we live, how we worship. We're not abandoned here. He is coming back. We don't know when. And so we watch and we pray and we work and we worship and we wait. Christmas is less than a month out. It's like upon us. It's going to be here before we know it. How will this Advent be a holy Advent in your life? How is God calling you to prepare for his second coming? What's out of balance in your life? What's out of order? What needs to change about our mindsets? What are the dissipations and drunkennesses that we have that we need to surrender? That if Jesus came back right now, we would know, oh, I held on to that too long. How will this be 4 weeks that are set apart? And how will they call you into deeper relationship with Christ? And into deeper understanding of the meaning and implications of his incarnation and his second coming. How does God want you to be different 4 weeks from now? Advent in many ways is like the darkness before dawn. Lately I've been up real early. And I've seen some glorious sunrises. couple mornings ago, I was up on top of a ridge looking east. I got up there in the dark. And, I mean, it was dark, dark. Climbing up through the woods. It was about a mile hike in. And I got up to about 1,600 feet in elevation. And I could see off to the east. And as the sun started to rise, you could see the darkness over here. Off to the west. And you could see the light and that sunrise coming. And it was beautiful. And even though the darkness was still dark, the sunrise was coming. We're in that in-between time right now. The darkness is dark. It's real. But Jesus is coming. And people look at the world and they see deep and increasing darkness all around. Even people that are not followers of Jesus Christ are looking at it going, wow, what is happening? Some see hunger, oppression, lack of justice, evil everywhere. Some see the lack of God in the government, in the schools, or in the courts. Others see the darkness of the destruction of the family and the deaths of the unborn. Some see the depravity of greed and selfishness. Hidden sin in the world, hidden sin in the church, in our own lives. Some see anger and hatred in communities and even within families and within churches. Some see this acceleration of the world distancing itself as far as it can from God who loves them and who died for them. Can you even imagine a little bit of the glory of King Jesus when he returns, if his glory is so much more glorious than all the darkness that seems so great around us? In a very real sense, all of creation is shrouded in darkness. It's awaiting the return of Jesus. Just as the world was awaiting his birth, we await his second coming. So this is an invitation to upset your way of doing things for the next 4 weeks. Go read Revelation. Pick a chapter a night. Something like that. Read it. It says you'll receive a blessing for reading it. You will. You have the Holy Spirit of God, who's the author of that. And if we think it's confusing, we can ask him to help us understand. Skip his teaching through Revelation right now. Go to adult Sunday school. Ask questions. He can give you all the notes from the beginning of when he started teaching it. But even if you don't go to that, read it. Let the Holy Spirit of God apply those words to your hearts. So I invite you to slow down at a time when everything is speeding up. Go in the opposite direction the world is going. Enter into the mystery of the time of Advent. We don't understand everything about God. Even if you accept the challenge and read all of Revelation, you probably won't understand everything that's in there. If you do, please come tell me. We won't understand everything about why God is the way that he is, or fully why he does what he does in the order that he does. But we do know that he is just, he's true, he's perfect, he's good, he's faithful, he's full of love and compassion. There are things that we will not know or understand until we are in his presence forever. And until then, we have been given an amazing gift. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? And what are you going to do about it? Lord, thank you for gathering us in this place. Thank you for the second coming of Jesus. Lord, forgive us for having our priorities out of whack and our hearts distracted with the dissipations and drunkennesses of the world. Lord, let the church shine the light of Jesus in this community in such ways that people will ask questions about who Jesus is and why he came, that we may be able to share that, and also that he is coming again, that we are people with the greatest hope in the world, and that even as things become darker and darker and darker, even if it means our lives, Lord, we know that we belong to you through Jesus forever, and that we do not need to fear. And Lord, that as the time draws nearer and as things shake and come undone and people are filled with fear and dread, Lord, that we would look with hope up, that we would lift our eyes, that we would stand up because we know that our redemption is drawing near. Help us to have faith and confidence even in the face of fear and darkness. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.